this day of...
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
You're listening to Across the Border. That's the name of this program. We're doing a continuing study here. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's pick up, we're at Paul speaking here. Verse 15, not boasting of things without measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready by our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Chapter 11. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any measure, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Paul speaking of here, someone preaching another Jesus, and of course they would have used the name Yahshua, but transmitted to us in the language of Greek, Iesus, or now Jesus, since the authorized King James Version. But what he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. But he precedes that he says, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached. Basically, is there another Jesus? Is there another Yahshua that people could preach to beguile others? Well, I believe there is. And I believe that most people who say they follow Jesus follow another Jesus, another Yahshua, another Jesus is what they're following. Because the Jesus of the Bible, see, he preached a message. And his message, his gospel, he said, is the gospel of the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now, how many churches preach that message? How many churches preach a gospel, a kingdom gospel message, as did Yeshua? And if they don't, are they preaching another Jesus? I have on my website, I am not greater than my master. But he came and he preached and he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Do I have another gospel message to preach other than the gospel of the kingdom which he preached? And if I do, how about instead of repent, for the kingdom is at hand, how about repent so you can go to heaven when you die? Isn't that another gospel? You get to go to heaven when you die. And I think that was the terminology that he spoke when he said they lead you up to the kingdom. See, because remember, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he talked about the false teachers. He said they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. They may say something like, follow me and do what I say. And by the way, I'm telling you about Jesus, but I'm not going to tell you it's another Jesus because I probably don't even know that myself. But you'll get to go to heaven when you die, because that's what they're preaching. You get to go to heaven when you die. You know, and I never heard Jesus say that. I haven't read that in any of the Gospels where Yeshua, the Messiah, said you get to go to heaven when you die. He never said repent so that you can go to heaven when you die. He said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. So we got to be careful about these other gospels and these other Jesuses. I think that many, what people believe about the Jesus that they follow can be relegated back to the imaginations that we were talking about in the prior chapters there. In a prior chapter, we were talking about casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, certainly, if anyone had the knowledge of God, would it not have been the Messiah himself when he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand? Isn't that the knowledge of God? So if I come to you in Jesus' name and I preach a different gospel, the gospel that you pie in the sky, when you die, you get to go to heaven, and I neglect the gospel of the kingdom, am I bringing in a imagination that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God? Yeah, I think, and the worst kind, because I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. And like Paul says here, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And it is very subtle. You know, the whole modern day evangelical message. It is more important that you be saved, 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 so you can go to heaven when you die. It's a very subtle difference. So subtle that most people can't see it. But it's a very subtle difference. Because of course, if you cross the border into the God's kingdom and you endure there till the end, you'll get to go to heaven where the Messiah is when you die. But the subtle difference is you're being led up to the kingdom, but you're not being suffered to enter because those who are leading you, they don't go in themselves. They don't tell you, cross the border into the kingdom. Cut off all those things that keep you from life, from entering into the kingdom. Yeshua the Messiah drew some extreme illustrations. If your eye offends you, that is, if your eye keeps you from obedience to God, living in his kingdom, accepting the laws of his kingdom that you might live by them, then you're to pluck your eye out and cast it from you. It's better that one of your members should perish than that your whole body and soul be cast into hell. Because if you don't cross the border into his kingdom, if you allow things to keep you out of his kingdom, and people, you know, you can do that too, and still believe you're going to go to heaven when you die, but you're not in his kingdom now. That's what he meant when he said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. Where do you have to endure? What, waiting for death so you can go to heaven when you die? Is, oh, what a terrible endurance. Yes, that I prayed the prayer, I walked the Romans road, I said the magic words, I repeated after the minister and walked down the aisle, and I made my public proclamation with tears and all of that. And then I went about my business. But no, I go to church every Sunday because I have to, I have to make sure that, I get to go to heaven when I die. So I got to follow some rules. I got to tithe at the church. I can't understand how the law was nailed to the cross, but I still have to keep that one. But, makes me feel pretty good. Yep. Go to church every Sunday and tithe, maybe. No. So there is another gospel. There is another Jesus out there. Paul clarifies it here. He says, and I'll say it again, he says, I fear lest any by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he, because it is the, perhaps to the mind that says, well, I get to go to heaven when I die, I said the prayer, that's it, da-da, and go, I can do what I want now because there's no condemnation in Christ. And, the law is nailed to the cross, and works are legalism, and following God's law is legalism, and that's dangerous. So I don't want to do any of that. So it's a subtle, but you know what? Yahshua didn't think it was not simple. The simplicity of Christ, that is. It wouldn't have Jesus or Yahshua himself preach the simple message of the gospel? So if we want to know what the simplicity of the gospel is, don't we have to go back to the one who gave it to us and listen to the gospel? He said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all. So it wouldn't. So how can we receive another gospel? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received from us, or another gospel which you have not received. He continues, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle, but though I be rude in speech, and what he means there is not that he was intentionally rude to people. I think the language here has a little to be desired. What he's saying is, I'm not a smooth talker. That's what Paul's saying here. But though I be not a smooth talker, yet not in knowledge, but he says, yet in knowledge, rude in speech, but not in knowledge. He's saying, my knowledge is good, even though my speech is not. But we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And Paul basically saying that there are those that are putting me down, saying that I'm just using you for money. So to prove it, I'm going to minister to you and take nothing from you. And that's the way it's been, and that's the way it will be, that their words are worthless. He continues, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his minister also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise. Yet, as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, he says, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. And here Paul's saying this is foolish speaking. I'll take his word for it. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. And so basically Paul is talking about people going around and their boasting is in their lineage. You know, we have a lot of those out there today. And nothing has changed. I watched one man transform himself from a Gentile American in ministry with a name like Steve Butt. And he transformed himself into a Hebrew, Eliyahu ben David. And now he has people following after him, boasting in his lineage. But Yahshua, didn't he say, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And here Paul calls it foolishness. He's saying they're going around saying these things as if they're somebody. But he says, I'm all those things too. But my boasting like them is foolishness, he continues. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. So 5 times he got the 39 stripes. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by our own countrymen, by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Yahshua, the Messiah, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that which he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it therein you were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. I'll be back in a few minutes, and we'll pick up there.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you because you love the truth. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. We're going to continue here in 2 Corinthians. Paul says in chapter 12 and verse 13, "For what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Of course, a reference back to the law there from Paul. "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so, I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strife, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. And lest when I come unto you, come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Chapter 13. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the month, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I were present for the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which henceforth have sinned, and to all others that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me, to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. And thus Paul ends his second letter to the Corinthians. Most of the letter concerning those who had come in and disputing the teachings of Paul, calling themselves Hebrews, calling themselves the sons of Abraham, however, not suffering for the gospel, but being benefited by preaching amongst the Corinthians. The Corinthians not standing up for Paul, not standing up for his defense, but being beguiled by the subtlety of the words of these false teachers who are preaching another Jesus. And Paul, of course, chastising them in his letter for falling so easily, for not putting up defense for him, because and proclaiming that he has paid the price, that he required nothing of them, but he gave all. And the false teachers who are speaking against him have given nothing for them, but just to beguile him and to beguile them and to supplant their faith with a false faith, a false Jesus. And the world is full of false preachers, men dressed in nice apparel, men who have never suffered anything in their lives, men who have never gone without, men who have never accepted poverty for the gospel, said, I will preach, though I go hungry, but men who see an opportunity to benefit. And so they do benefit. And just look around at the ministries around you today, preaching another Jesus. And they preach it for the benefits that are offered, well, by the state, basically. Most of them accepting benefits and privileges from the state in the form of tax-deductible donations by which they can become rich. And the temptation is there. I know it was there for me when I turned to ministry, when I felt the calling in my life. When you feel the calling, when the Heavenly Father calls a man to minister, to ministry, there's a whole slew of temptations that come with it. And those temptations, get advice, or you tell someone, go to your local church, perhaps confess to one of the elders or one of the men of faith or teachers, preachers, pastors there that you feel called to the ministry. It's a normal thing to do. I feel called. What do I do? And they'll say, well, what do you feel that God's calling you to do? So you might explain your ministry. And they say, well, in that case, you need to set up a not-for-profit corporation like I did or like the church. See, and that's called a temptation. And many men fall for it innocently, and they say, oh, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know anything about law. Can you get someone to help me? Oh, yeah, you know, we got a member over there in the first row. See the guy in a nice suit, ties, he comes every week, and he ties, and he's a lawyer. He'll help you out. And so they get you in touch, and the lawyer says, don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Don't question a thing. I'll take care of it for you, and this is how much it's going to cost you. So, well, God's calling me. I guess I got to give this guy the money so I can go ahead in ministry. And so many people enter into it quite innocently. Why? Well, because they didn't question. Because they didn't look well into their ways. They didn't consider. They just let someone else handle it for them. They received, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But, well, the guy goes to my church. It must be godly counsel. What he's giving you isn't godly counsel. It's counsel of the world. Godly counsel comes from the Word of God. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say, thou shalt incorporate if you want to serve me. I read the man said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. After we get our 501c3 incorporated status. No, it's not in there. It's not the counsel of godliness. Just because it's coming from someone who attends a church and is perceived as a godly man doesn't mean it's godly counsel, because godly counsel comes from the Word of God. If it doesn't come from the Word of God, it's not godly counsel, and you're walking in ungodly counsel. Remember, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we're not to receive that ungodly counsel, no matter where it comes from. That's right. No matter where it comes from. We are to take every thought captive. It's an imagination, isn't it? Isn't it one of those imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God? I have to look to the state for benefits, and the benefits that the state is going to give me is, that was what they told me. And then you can get tax-deductible donations to help your ministry, to help you do the work of God. God needs tax-deductible donations from the state. God needs the benefit of the state. Yes, that's called temptation. And fortunately, well, I kind of fell for it, but I didn't. Because I thought, okay, this character, they told me, they didn't introduce me to a lawyer. But they might in many instances. They said, well, you got to get a lawyer and set up a 501c3 corporation. Well, I had used Nolo Press before, so I got how to set up your not-for-profit tax, deductible corporation book from Nolo Press. And I started to read it. And what I read in the pages, I soon quickly realized that I couldn't do it, because it was ungodly counsel. It went against the Word of God. And I said, I can't do this. I can't do this for benefits of the state. I can't do it for tax-deductible donations. Well, your ministry is never going to be anything. It's never going to get big, and you're going to get all kinds of money. It's not going to happen. You know, where all the visions of grandeur are gone, how God was going to use me. But see, I was looking for God to use me. But I think a lot of people are looking for at what they're going to do for God. See, they got it turned around. It's what I did. It goes to what the Messiah said. He said, many will stand before me in that day and they will proclaim, didn't I do great things in your name? Didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I heal the sick in your name? And it's all about what they did for God and their great ministry. And I can't judge other people, but I could never call it Nicholas Arthur Ministries. It's not my ministry, it's his. The work that I do is his work. He gives it to me to do. If he didn't give it to me to do, then I would only be doing my works. It's nothing. I want to serve him. He's my master. I do what he says. He is the boss. It's his ministry, not mine. I don't want to stand before him that day wondering what went wrong. How did I get it so backwards? And so that's where the temptations begin when you go into ministry. And that's one of them. What you're going to do for God. And how are you going to fund it? Because if it is his, he doesn't need tax-deductible donations. He doesn't need it to become great, big, humongous thing. Subtly different. Subtly preaching another gospel and another Jesus. So we need to examine everything. Bring every thought, every imagination captive. We need to judge everything according to his word and not receive the counsel of the ungodly, especially in ministry. There is nothing more important in this life than that we cross the border into his kingdom. And as the scripture says, that we endure. He who endures to the end shall be saved. We must endure in his kingdom to the end of our mortality. And if we are in his kingdom, then we will be in his kingdom forever. And if we are not in his kingdom when our mortality ends, then we will not be in his kingdom forever. This is the gospel of the kingdom. I have my unique way of verbalizing it, of illustrating it, and cross the border into the kingdom of God. But it is the gospel of the kingdom. It is the gospel which my master preached. And he said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. It is only through repentance that we can enter into his kingdom. Yahshua demonstrated that repentance is more than sorrow for your sins. Yes, sorrow is the emotion that accompanies true repentance. But the sorrow in itself is not repentance. That's the other gospel. That's the other Jesus, where you just feel sorry and you're forgiven, but then you go on as if nothing happened. And you get to go to heaven when you die, as long as you're sorry for your sins. As long as you repent. And so, like I said, they've relegated repentance to mere sorrow, emotion. But Yahshua, he illustrated it so thoroughly and so completely that no one should fall for the false repentance or the repentance of sorrow alone. But he said, if your hand causes you to sin, you know, do that which you've repented from, which you have sorrow over, because it's not sin if there's no sorrow, right? It's sin, you sorrow, you repent. And if you continue in it, well, then he says, if your hand causes you to continue in that which you repented of or your sorrowed over, your sin, if your hand causes you to continue to fall in it, he said, cut it off. Now that's complete repentance. That's having the sorrow for your sin, which is a good, godly thing, which is something you should have. You should feel that emotion, but you have to cut it off. It's very important. Because he said you won't enter into life without it. And we enter into life now when we cross the border into his kingdom. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By his grace, our position is in heaven. That's the grace that came through Yahshua the Messiah. Certainly we all had grace in that we were born and we get to live and we have an opportunity to repent. But once we repent, the grace that came through Jesus Christ allows us to enter in as if, to boldly go before the throne of God, as if we had already been planted in the ground, to use his illustration of the seed being planted in the ground. We have a position in heaven now, though we don't realize it completely, because we're still in this mortal flesh. So there's nothing more important. Complete repentance. That's the gospel that he preached. Yes, sorrow for your sin, and then that godly sorrow worketh repentance, meaning you cut it off. If your hand causes you to sin, you cut it off and cast it from you because it's better to enter into life than your whole body and soul. It's better to enter into life without a hand than your whole body and soul be cast into hell. And entering into life isn't going to heaven when you die, because there's no going to be no maimed people in heaven. He said it would be better to enter into life blind. And he's talking about entering into the kingdom of God, because that is life. That's where life is found. If you're not in his kingdom, you're dead. And if you're not in his kingdom, if you don't endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, there's no hope for you, because you will not be in his kingdom forever. The illustrations are clear. Repentance is more than sorrow. Yes, that's where it begins, sorrow for your sin. But complete repentance is a sorrow that worketh righteousness. And what is righteousness? It is doing that which is right by putting off that which is wrong, that which is against his law. So please, you know, I beg you, cross the border into his kingdom and obtain eternal life. There's absolutely nothing more important in this life than that you do that. Well, that's all I have for today. So I'm going to leave you with a little bit of music here, as soon as I find some to put on. Well, remember, as always, in everything you say and in everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah. On the run, every soldier of the cross will cry.
Healing does not